And that's really what a brand is the promise of delivering something that you want. So if you think of it, the reason that you go back and buy that toothpaste that you like, you had a good experience, you recognize the name, and you want that good feeling again, so you're going to go buy it again. When authors produce their work, it's very much the same thing. The reason people buy a book is because they want to take you home with them.
That's Judy Baker talking about book branding from her perspective as a partner in the author service company, Book Marketing Mentor. I spoke with Judy at IBPA's Publishing University 2018 in Austin, Texas, and we'll be listening to the full interview with Judy in just a moment. But first, let me welcome you to Inside Independent Publishing. Thanks again for streaming in. I'm an independent publisher, and I'm your host, Peter Goodman. Inside Independent Publishing comes to you from IBPA, the Independent Book Publishers Association. IBPA's mission is to lead and serve the independent publishing community through advocacy, education, and tools for success. For more about IBPA and how it can help you be a better publisher and sell more books, whatever kind of publisher you are, go to ibpa-online.org. Now, it's time to answer one of your questions. Today's comes from Melvin Steris and asks about song lyrics. Very simple. The question is, can anyone tell me if I can legally use A, this quote, and B, this name on the back of my book? Quote, imagine all the people living life in peace, unquote. And then credit goes to John Lennon. Now, one answer to this question comes from S. Holroyd of Sleeping Cat Books, who says, it's my understanding that song lyrics that are still under copyright don't usually fall under fair use. You'd have to get written permission from the copyright holder. And then S. Holroyd gives a link to an article on permissions and fair use by on Jane Friedman's website, which is www.janefriedman.com. I will put the URL address in the podcast notes, as well as another suggestion that S. Holroyd makes to see an article on the popular website called The Book Designer. So be sure and check out the podcast notes to find both of these addresses, and both of these articles lend additional light on the subject. I would simply add here that the concept of fair use is very tricky, and it's worth a much longer discussion. But the basic takeaway is that you really don't have the right to use anything, but that the legal system has determined that certain uses, especially for scholarly purposes, do not constitute a copyright violation. But there are many, many caveats, such as the nature of your usage. Are you using it just for review, for editorial purposes, or is it kind of a decorative epigraph, for example? Also, what percentage of the work is being used by you? A lot or a little, and that's where the restrictions on song lyrics and poetry come in, since by quoting even a single line, you are basically using a substantial amount of the original. So don't assume that you know what fair use is or that it applies to what you're doing. If you have a question for me or anyone at IBPA, just contact us on the IBPA site, ibpa-online.org, or message us on Twitter using the handle at IBPA. Be sure to put the word podcast in the message so your question gets to the right place. Now, in early April of 2018, I attended IBPA's annual publishing university. This was held in Austin, Texas. And while there, I was able to speak to maybe a dozen experts and publishing industry leaders. Today's podcast is with one of them. It's with Judy Baker. I'm here with Judy Baker from bookmarketingmentor.com. Just a reminder, I'm at PubU 2018 in Austin, Texas, and I'm meeting with presenters, experts, people from the publishing industry, and finding out what their take is on publishing in America today and what's happening at IBPA. Now, Judy Baker is bookmarketingmentor.com, and I want to ask her, what is a book mentor exactly?
Well, a book mentor helps organize the information that you need when you're building your brand as an author. And a lot of authors don't even realize that, number one, the book is just a starting place, and that they want to get known for their expertise, whether they're doing fiction or nonfiction, that their name and how people relate to them is really critical in selling books. If they are looking at writing as a career, they need a strategy so that they can do it and have a life be manageable. I thought our keynote yesterday was spot on, that you don't want to just focus on one thing and one thing only. You want to have an integrated life, and you want to be happy and have it be fun. And with mentoring, we're looking at meeting our authors where they are now and helping them reach the goals that they've set. We don't set the goals for them. We help them get there. And both my partner Judy and I, the two Judys, we have a background in organizational development as well as publishing. So we like to coach our clients. We want to see what they need, where the gaps are, and help them grow in the ways that they want to grow.
So, how do you get started exactly? I imagine that a lot of authors don't even realize that such a thing exists or is necessary or might be beneficial to them. What would lead them to you? How do they know that they need a mentor?
I think what has been happening, both of us are very active with the Bay Area Independent Publishers. I'm also a member of Redwood Writers and IBPA. When people become authors, they know that there's all these things to do, and they go, how do I start? Because they may not have any marketing skills whatsoever. So people come to us because they've seen us do workshops. They've met with us online. We're working on courses for online, and we're very consistent in putting information out in the world, blogging and publishing articles and getting known in our immediate community, and then that spreads out into the world to
and so people
other places.
Find you, and
they find us. Yeah,
yeah,
they see us and hear us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about like an author getting their name out there, you're kind of talking about branding themselves. In
exactly.
A way. Is that not to sound too crass, but is that in the same way that a toothpaste has a brand, and when people see
yes.
the word Crest or Colgate, they have an association?
Yeah.
Hopefully a good one.
A good one, yes.
Yeah.
And that's really what a brand is the promise of delivering something that you want. So if you think of it, the reason that you go back and buy that toothpaste that you like, you had a good experience, you recognize the name, and you want that good feeling again, so you're going to go buy it again. When authors produce their work, it's very much the same thing. The reason people buy a book is because they want to take you home with them. And building your author brand expands that. I work in nonfiction more than I work in fiction. And those folks are looking at becoming speakers, becoming known as the expert in their area of study, and they want to change the world in a very positive way.
So this is kind of and there are fiction writers who write to get something out of their head and get it onto paper. There are people who write memoirs to track their family's history or something. What you're talking about is a book as a almost a calling card.
Absolutely.
That someone who has a profession that they want to advance. It's the way that a doctor might wear a white coat to say, I'm an expert.
Yes.
You have a book out there, and that's part of your presentation material.
Exactly.
It's not the only thing, and it has to work in conjunction with what your overall, say, career goal is.
Well, that part is true, and also I look at the book as a starting place. Can it be turned into other types of ways to deliver the material? Could it become a course? Could it become a workbook? Could it become a podcast? Could it become a series of, could you break it up, you know, could you take a bigger book and break it up into smaller books? Because as most of us know in the industry, series sell. People try you,
right,
and then they want the next one and the next one. I mean, James Patterson is an expert in that, and since he had an advertising background, he recognized that from the very first
day. And his name is always bigger than the title
yeah.
of the book. I mean,
absolutely.
Who cares what the title of the book is?
Yeah, James Patterson, okay, I'm going to buy that. But when you're a new author, your name isn't right. going to be the biggest thing on there. It's going to be, they want to find out about what you have to do for them. Whether you're going to, if you're entertaining them, then authors need to be able to succinctly say, here's my one sentence that tells you why you should read this book.
So when I imagine that when you meet authors and you present this to them, in many cases it's a revelation. It's like, oh, I thought I was just writing a book. I didn't realize that there's all this other stuff that can emerge from it or that it relates to. Do you find that people, do you watch the light go on in people's
yes.
heads?
It's really fun. They suddenly go, I didn't know I could do that. And oh, and I'm a business and oh, and I need to do these things. It's very funny. I think the part of our business that is so exciting, we meet with people, we're trying to encourage people to meet with us when they're first starting to think about writing their book. Mm-hmm. But so often authors, marketing's an afterthought. But it doesn't matter. You can start wherever you are. When they see that there are all these possibilities, first thing that happens is they get completely overwhelmed. And that's natural because marketing for a book or marketing yourself, there are a lot of moving parts. So we don't say you have to do everything. We say, okay, who's your reader? Clearly, let's identify who your reader is. Where are they already hanging out? And then we're going to go hang out with them. And when we do that, then we can bring them over into your world, to your website. We really strongly focus on getting people subscribed to your email list. And then there's this intimacy that happens with the conversation on email that doesn't happen anywhere else. Well, I can say one of our authors specializes in self-help, easy self-help acupressure. And her books are great. Her first focus was on working with adults, but then all of these things kept showing up about kids, and teachers were saying, oh, well, I'm doing this in my classroom because I learned this from you, and the kids are doing better, and they're not stressed, and they're paying attention, they're showing up, they're not absent, they're retaining the information, and they're calm. Pretty cool thing. Well, I said, Deborah, you can do some video on your own. Just do a couple Facebook Lives, take your phone, it's an experiment. And our sense of wonder about, well, just like you're doing this podcast, you don't have to do it perfectly. You're going to get better no matter what you do. But if you only talk to a limited audience, there's all these other people who could benefit from it. So now Deborah is doing things so she can be seen by the whole world rather than just her immediate town.
So in addition to writing a book, then authors have to develop a number of other skills like using email effectively or using Facebook, developing a Twitter account, learning how to build a website. Or if they can't or don't want to do that, then at least realize that those things are important and find someone who can help you create them.
Correct. And we're looking to be, there are things that we do within our company, but we're also looking at being the spoke, well, the hub of the wheel, that we have qualified people that we can work with as, you know, bring them in on the team. We manage the team, just as you said, if they need a website built, then we have programmers that we love working with. We're going to work on the content, and the things that we don't do, we know where to go get those great talents to come in on the project. And authors don't always know that. I mean,
right.
there's so many parts, you know, when they're doing their book, they're having to work with editors, they're working with designers, they're working with companies, whether they're doing, you know, if they're publishing themselves or if they're working with a hybrid publisher or they're pitching. And our part of the puzzle is looking at what's the most critical area that needs to be developed. And a platform really is that you start with a foundation. You don't try to put up the foundation and the walls and the roof all at the same time. You start with one thing and you get that working, and then you build another thing and you build another thing so that the skills are transferable rather than saying, oh, yeah, you've got to be from day one. You've got to be on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. You know, we can go on and on with that. that will make you totally crazy.
But on the other hand, discussions with you or with other people who do what you do need to begin when the book is in process, not after it's already done, right?
That's the best way to do it. Yeah. But, you know, your first book, you may not know that.
Right, right.
And that's okay, too.
Uh-huh.
You can take the book, even after it's been published, and then say, okay, so this is going to be a way for me to get my name out there. I can use this. But it's an introduction to me as an author, as an expert. And as I'm writing the next book, now I can then take that first book and show people a sample of who I am. And we always encourage our authors to be sure they include in the book, if you would like to post an honest review, here's where to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And my next book is, and with self-publishing, you can add those things even after the you've done your initial run.
So the real benefit of what you do, the first book is like establishing it all, but then the second book is when you're building on it, and it's maybe an exponential growth because
yes.
You've got a solid foundation. And everything you go into promoting the new book is actually promoting the old book.
Absolutely.
And so on and so on.
Yes.
So this is great. Well, if you all want to find out more about what Judy does and contact her, be sure to go to bookmarketingmentor.com and she'll give you all the information and get you started. But in addition, Judy, you mentioned Bay Area Independent Publishers Association,
yes.
AKA BAPA.
Yes.
And you've been involved with them for a long time. They are a IBPA affiliate. How is BAPA doing? What's the membership?
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Who is the membership these days?
I first came to BAPA, I think it was 2010, and I went to one of the conferences. At that time, they were doing a two-day conference, and I was so impressed with the creativity and the energy that I had to join. I went, I think it was about 6 months later, I became president of BAPA, and I've been on the board ever since. We've got about 180 members right now.
Wow.
We switched up our model. Instead of doing a conference every year, we started doing workshops following our monthly meetings. Oh my gosh, if you are in the Bay Area, you want to come to our meetings. We start with an hour of Q&A. And during that time, anybody in the audience can ask a question and anybody in the room can answer the question. It used to be just from the front of the room, one of the board members would answer. But we realized we had all of these experts in the room. Even if that person is only one step ahead of the person who asks the question, it was a way to connect and share information and to brainstorm. And I think that's part of the beauty of it. So we do Q&A, then we have a break and people get to mix and, you know, buy books from the members. We introduce ourselves and we do announcements about what's going on in the organization, and then we have a speaker for about an hour and 15 minutes. Usually the speaker does an afternoon workshop, too, where we go into greater depth. So we've been doing that that model for, well, I guess since about 2012. But we have Writers World coming up. This will be our second one, which will be a one-day conference and trade show, and we're bringing in the other publishing and writing groups in the area is going to be a collaborative event so that the members can see what else, what are the other resources.
Where else are they coming in from?
Well, we're talking to the California Writers Clubs. There's the group, the Marin group is Left Coast Writers. I'm also a member of Redwood Writers, as I said. They'll be coming and exhibiting. We have talked to Women in Crime, the Women's National Book Association are probably going to be there. So there's a lot of different groups.
Yeah. And what's the date for that?
It's going to be September 8th, which is a Saturday.
Ah, okay. So plenty of time for this podcast to be out there and spread the word.
Yeah.
And where's it going to be?
Well, we are in negotiations, and I can't reveal it. It will be in Marin County. We're hoping it's at this wonderful spot, which was the first place I actually met everybody at BAPA. So stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned.
Yeah,
right.
If you go to BAIPA.org, you will see where the venue is.
You mean for the venue for the event?
For the event.
And where does BEPA meet every month?
Second Saturday of the month. We are meeting at the Key Center, that's K-E-Y, in Novato. And the Key Center is a pretty unusual place. It was developed to help people who had been homeless learn skills, and the reason it's called the Key Center, it's their next key to success. So they have a full event center that's beautiful, and they train people to grow food, to make food, and they even started making doggy biscuits and treats and chocolates, which are pretty amazing. So it's a fabulous place.
Well, if you go to a BEPA meeting, then you can bring your dog and maybe get a good doggy biscuit. Well, that's great. I'm so impressed that BEPA has grown, and it's an affiliate with IBPA. What does an affiliate with IBPA mean exactly? Do you get some benefits from that?
We get incredible benefits. Well, IBPA offers such a wealth of benefits for the members, discounts, education. As an affiliate, we do an affiliate call so the different groups around the country meet with, sometimes it's with Angela, sometimes it's with other board members, and we discuss issues that are happening in our respective groups. And so, say the group in Florida is telling us, well, we did this and it worked, and our board did this and we got more members, and We all have challenges as nonprofits, and most all of us are volunteers. I don't think there are too many of the groups that have a paid staff member, but IBPA does. And so it's really nice. We'll say, well, we're having trouble with our membership tracking. Mm-hmm. And then another group will say, well, we're using this software, we're using this company. And there is this sense of camaraderie. And I feel very confident no matter what comes up, whether it's a challenge or something that we want to share and say, oh, this worked really, really well. That's part of the beauty of being with IBPA. And I think also as an affiliate, well, we tell our members, we say, if you join IBPA, the money you invest in your membership is going to come right back to you with just one purchase that you make. And you get a discount. Right. So you get discount on printing and other services. If you're an independent, you can even get insurance if you're an IBPA member. So being an affiliate is pretty awesome. And we can also request speakers. Okay. So we've had Angela Bowl, who has come to speak. Brooke Warner came this last year. And I really appreciate being able to reach out and say, we'd love to have somebody talk about hybrid publishing. Oh, Brooke said, I'll be there.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess the nice thing, too, about having BEPA is that you can get down to the nitty-gritty and you can discuss details with people who are in exactly the same position with you.
Yes.
You can share your information with people who are just starting out. And then you can also talk to people who have been through it and seen it all. And
oh,
you can get a whole range of different opinions. And also at BEPA, there are a lot of vendors who are members too, people who provide services. So you can find an editor, you can find a designer there, and it's a really good crowd. And the question and answer session for an hour is always a lot of fun because the questions are very, very detailed and specific. So that's where problems are solved. Well, I'd like to thank you very much, Judy Baker, for coming by. And again, if you're interested in having a mentor, go to bookmarketingmentor.com. And if you live anywhere in the Bay Area, be sure to check out baipa.org. That's the BEPA. It's a publishing association. It's an affiliate of IBPA. So you get all the benefits of having local help on the ground, as well as a great connection to IBPA. Thanks again for coming, Judy.
Thank you, Peter.
I really appreciate what Judy said about brand building as an author. Many authors just don't feel comfortable marketing themselves like a product on a shelf. A little hyperbole, fancy wrapper, always positive testimonials, your name in big, bold type. All this can make some authors feel like hucksters or that they're ignoring all the content they slaved over in favor of a cheap, sensationalist message. Well, welcome to the business of publishing. You know, your wonderful content won't mean a thing to anyone if no one picks your book from the pile of thousands of other books calling out for attention. You mustn't sell your book short by being reluctant to tell everyone how good it is. If it wasn't any good, why do you spend so much time writing it? And even when you embrace the idea that, yes, I've got to sell my book, maybe you're not a very good salesperson, or you just don't have time. And that's where it really makes sense to hire a professional, like Judy Baker, or like many other people offering similar services. Interview them carefully. Make sure they understand your goals. Look at the work agreement and contract and find out exactly what they will do for you, and for how long, and for how much. Keep your expectations in check. No publicist or marketer is ever going to guarantee success, but you may be able to come up with incentives, for example, additional money if they exceed X number of placements in national media, for example. And no one is going to care as much about your book as you do, but there are plenty of good people working on it in our industry who will support your dream and help get you where you want to go. That's my comment on the subject. Now, if you'd like to comment back to me, use the Twitter handle at Peter Goodman or at IBPA. And just a reminder, if you are already a member of IBPA, we appreciate your support and be sure and let us hear from you. If you'd like to learn more about IBPA or are considering joining, check out the IBPA website at ibpa-online.org. Thanks again for listening to Inside Independent Publishing. Keep your nose in that book, and as my bosses in Japan used to say, let's have publishing fun.